like to join us in celebrating the recovery and fellowship that we've come to know need and serve in our lives. We encourage you to share in our NA unity through your experience, strength, and hope in our wide variety of work. This is an open retreat. All of our communities, however we ask them, only have to share in the workshop. In accordance with our tradition, we are fully self-supported. The money to pay for this campus services as well is helping to comes from your registration. If you have not registered, please see someone at the registration table. If you have, thank you for registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection of our Cards Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message and not the message. What is the NA message? Our message is that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict that still suffers because that is all we have to give, and that no addict anywhere needs to die from the horrors of addiction. The NA way. In our Cards Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross-addicted, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases that one drug is separate from another. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities and our differences. To the press, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press accountability. If any members of the press are present, please come to the registration table, where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during the community or shared by the press. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. Okay, welcome to the workshop entitled Step 6 and 7. Will you please help me open this? Let me make sure I'm reading this right. Yep, with a moment of silence for the act of still suffers, followed by the serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to deliver.
Alrighty, could we please have a reading of We Do Recover?
I'm Katie, I'm an advocate. Hey. We do recover. When at the end of the road we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are fortunate. For the first time in its entire history, the simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, Katie.
All righty. The main event, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Jerrian N. from Sunday Survivors in Indiana, PA. Woo!
I'm an addict named Jerrian. Can we just all take a moment, ground into this space, just close our eyes, take a breath, connect to our higher power for a moment if you wish, just take it for whatever you need. Thank you. It is such a, my ego loves when I get asked to speak. Like the moment somebody approaches me and asks me to share my experience, strength, and hope, you know, my ego's like, oh my gosh, someone sees me. They think I'm doing a good job at this recovery thing. But I'm actually like really nervous when I speak. And that's also my ego. It's like, I don't have a clear message to share. And I get in my head. And last night the speaker had said something that really hit me, where he was talking about getting those glimpses and those moments of his higher power, like that conscious contact coming through. And I remember being at this retreat 10 years ago with 27 days clean and like listening to the speakers and like being so filled with so much hope and like feeling so connected, just looking into the fire and like looking around with all of the other addicts just getting another minute clean. And I just remember that day taking a breath and I was like, I wanna stay here. And like it's 10 years later and I'm still here, and like not everybody that was there around the fire with me is even still alive anymore. But a lot of the people are, and I just like feel so connected to my higher power this weekend. So today's topic is 6 and 7, and I actually always, anytime I get asked to speak on a topic, oddly, it is always 6 and 7. I've never spoke on another topic in my entire recovery process. And I think there's a reason for that. When I was moving through my first 6 step, I think I had 3 years clean, and I had this expectation that I was going to hit my knees in the woods and like all of the things that were causing me pain were just going to disappear. I had no gratitude for any of my defects of character. I had no understanding, even through reading the steps and like listening to other people's experiences. I had, one of my defects of character is perfectionism. And it was really hard for me. It was easy for me in my 4th step to look at all of the harm I caused in my addiction, because I still was blaming drugs for that harm. I didn't realize I was the problem. So I had something to throw that on. But when I looked at all of the harm and all of the defects that were showing up in my life clean, I felt like I was this awful person and I should be doing better. So I really beat myself up, and I allowed myself to let my defects become shortcomings. In the end, you know, it really worked out, but I want to kind of rewind. I'm nervous. Throughout this process and in the literature and observing other recovering addicts, I really realized like my defects of character were my survival skills in my addiction. Even before I picked up a drug, you know, the lying was a big thing for me. The manipulation, I felt like I wasn't enough. The triangle of self-obsession talks about fear, anger, and resentment are the root of most of our defects. And I grew up living my life within those defects instead of the spiritual principles. So I knew no other way to live. And then I got clean, and I was still lying, I was still manipulating, I was still attention-seeking, I was still jealous, but I had glimpses and these spiritual principles that I could apply to my life if I chose. And in our literature, it talks about we have a choice, just like we have a choice once we get clean and surrender to the recovery process. That if we choose to pick up, that's our choice. If I choose to apply live in defect, you know, I have that choice. But I realized that being clean, my lying wasn't serving me anymore. My manipulation wasn't serving me anymore. But I didn't know what to do. I couldn't stop. It was like an addiction. Until I really got to the root of realizing, like, I was living my life in a constant state of fear. Fear that people weren't going to like me. Fear that I wasn't good enough. Fear that I was going to be rejected, fear that I was going to be seen as this awful person. I had no humility. I learned so much humility through 6 and 7. I literally was like knocked on my ass throughout that step and got back up and relied on the people in these rooms to kind of help me move through it. So for me, the application of 6 and 7 came with a lot of humility, open-mindedness, and willingness. And these were spiritual principles I had learned in the previous steps. For me, my 1st step, my sponsor had me write how I was applying honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness every day for a month. And if I had missed a day, I had to restart all over. So those principles really became a foundation for me, but I was still not being honest, open-minded, and willing with myself. I had this willingness, or I thought I had willingness, to like let go of these defects that were causing me so much pain, but I didn't know how, if that makes sense. So defects for me and are part of who I am. And when I started to love those parts of me, I do a lot of spiritual work. Throughout this process, I've gotten to develop a really amazing relationship with my higher power. Just last night, my husband and I were laying out with my sponsor, and we were looking at the stars, and I asked God for a shooting star, and no lie, like 2 seconds later, a shooting star just came right by. And I was just asking my God if I would be okay, because the past month and a half, I have been living in complete defect. I feel like a newcomer. Like, the beauty to this program is that I can apply to every area of my life if I choose. The past couple of months, I've really been feeling this emptiness, and I haven't been filling it with recovery. I've been filling it with anything outside of myself. And it was like 3 weeks ago where I kind of realized, holy shit, I am using this work and attention seeking as a drug right now. And it wasn't sitting right with my soul. And my higher power likes to show me love, but it also likes to show me when things are not in alignment for me. So a lot of things were happening in my life that I realized that was like just telling me, hey, like something's going on with you. You need to reconnect. You need to surrender these things. And I knew that I was speaking on this, and I laughed because my higher power would be like, we're going to test you on your application, because I like to live with integrity. And I wasn't even sure if I was going to share on where I've been, but I kind of just set the intention to share whatever was meant to come out. So I've been living in my defects and my shortcomings over the past couple of months, and it's been causing me a lot of pain and suffering. And 3 weeks ago, I kind of actually restarted doing, like, applying the sixth and seventh step into my life and looking at the root of it, and all of it was, again, stemming from resentment and fear and anger. So I started, we have a spiritual principle to kind of bridge that gap with everything. I started applying those more to my life, and then I started seeing more loving signs from my higher power, more signs that you're on the right path. And when I came into this program, I had no higher power. I had no connection to Source or a God of my understanding. And that conscious contact, like I have contact with my God throughout my entire day. Like, I'm constantly getting signs, and my higher power is going to be different than yours, but I really connect to nature and signs and synchronicities and stuff like that. And I don't think there's any coincidence that I just kind of got knocked on my ass again for my defects, and I'm sitting here speaking about it and still coming out of the wreckage, because my defects, thankfully this time, they caused me more harm than other people. But a lot of time, like, I just don't want to hurt people today. In the beginning, I didn't want to hurt other people. I cared more about other people than I did myself. And now I love myself enough that I don't want to hurt myself, even if it wasn't hurting other people. Like, I truly love myself because of this program. And when something doesn't sit right with my soul anymore, like, I want to make those changes and bridge those gaps with spiritual principles. And, like, this program has given me the ability to do that. So, for me, the biggest thing this go-around was, I don't know what the defect of, like, attention-seeking would be. Anybody know what that would be? Like, just filling that void. What do you think it would be? Self-centeredness. Yeah, I like that. Applied, like, the spiritual principle, like, I just wanted to be of service. I wanted to get outside of myself and really be more present with my kids and some friends and people in recovery. So that was a way for me to realize, you know, like, just being there for other people was helping me, like, get outside of myself. And I'm kind of on the rebuild of all of that, and I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. I hope I'm making sense. I'm just kind of flowing with whatever comes to me. But my defects of character in, like, the line of spirituality and conscious contact with my higher power, I look at those as, like, my shadow parts, the darker parts of my human being. And, like, those are always going to be a part of who I am. And they're going to serve a purpose sometimes. It's just knowing when to discern the difference between, like, it's not serving me in this moment and it is. And, like, self-righteousness is really like confidence blown out of proportion. And when I'm insecure and I'm not feeling confident, I will skip and go right to feeling self-righteous and entitled. Because, you know, it makes me feel a certain way. But now today, like, I'm able to like let myself kind of sit with the root of why I feel the self-righteousness is going to serve me over the confidence, and do the work it takes to kind of find that middle level ground. But again, those don't come first nature for me at all. Like in my addiction, I had to lie to find a place to sleep at night. I had to manipulate to get what I needed. I chose anger a lot because everything that was underneath of that anger, I wasn't capable of feeling. And then when I first got clean, like any emotion that I felt was a trigger for me. So it would keep myself from feeling until I started surrounding myself with people in this program. And then after that, you start doing step work and I realize, hey, I can surrender this to God. I don't have to rely on people all the time. A lot of my defects of character I pulled through in my fourth step. And then another thing my sponsor had me do was I had to ask three people, two women and one man. Of course I picked a man who had a crush on me because, you know, didn't think he was going to tell me anything bad about me. Again, that was another vice for me was, you know, people outside of me validating me. I would ask them for three defects and three assets. And like kind of look at my list and look at what they said about me. And that was really, really hard for me. I took things very personally, but I also knew it was coming from a place of love. So like hearing how other people saw me, I would focus on the defects they said about me. And I don't even think I would glance at the assets. I'm like, what do people think that's bad about me? And how can I, because I cared so much about what people thought and I was a perfectionist. And then that made me almost at that point like try and pretend that wasn't a part of me or trying to hide it or keep it secret. And that's another thing, like there were some defects I was so shameful about that I didn't even want to look at myself, but it was still leaking out into my life and causing pain and suffering. And it wasn't until I like realized like this is all just a part of me, and the more I reject it, the louder it's going to get my attention, the more it's going to manifest, the further I'm going to run from it, and the more chaos and pain and suffering it's going to cause in my life and others around me. I remember in the middle of my sixth step, just hitting my knees in the woods and just crying, because at that point I was, you know, not living within principles, and I was causing a lot of pain in my life, and I just cried my face off. I got up off of my knees and I was like, okay, it's gone. Like I let it go. I get in my car, I get on my phone, and I start doing the same thing all over again, but just like in a more manipulated way that felt more spiritually aligned. And it was not. I was on my sixth step for about a year, honestly, like in between my third year clean and my fourth year clean. And then my sponsor came up to me and she was like, you're ready to move on to seven, because she saw how I was applying it in my life. She saw the differences I was making. She saw how I was like letting things go and how I was living. All I wanted out of that step was to be able to live within spiritual principles and to have that choice and to, you know, just accept myself more. I never accepted myself. I came into recovery a chameleon, just trying to be who everybody, and nobody wanted me to be anything. Nobody expected me to be anything. I had this story in my head that people are only gonna like me if I can relate to them. Besides, you know, the obvious common bonds we all have in these rooms, I just had no identity. So I would just shapeshift into who my partner was or who that group of friends was. And I just felt so lost. And throughout, you know, step work, I don't even know if I had a home to come to within myself. I think I built the home, through this process. And I started slowly, you know, getting more comfortable with myself, figuring out who I was, what spiritual principles were really core values of mine, and giving myself grace when I would fall short, because still I'm like beat my, and like what I just went through a couple months ago was not something crazy. It just was not aligned with me. I'm super self-critical on myself, and I'm learning to give myself more grace, giving myself the spiritual principle of grace. But it just didn't sit right with me, and I made a choice to move out of that and into spiritual principles. So it's a process. It's a never-ending process. If I ever think that I'm done, I hope somebody in this room calls me out and says, hey, you're not done. Like, we're forever learning. We're forever growing and expanding and fucking up. I'm sorry. Making mistakes, getting knocked on our asses. One more thing that I want to share on is the spiritual principle of humility, because what I went through in the mix of my six and seven step, it really like made me feel like I was going to walk into these rooms and everybody was going to hate me and judge me and think I was a terrible person. And some people did at that point, I'm sure. But I had humility, and like that was really hard for me, because to me, like, humility felt embarrassing. It felt like humiliation, but it was not. Like, I had this feeling of I surrender and I admit that I'm human, and just because I work a program and I'm clean doesn't make me perfect. And I just kept showing up and getting better and better, and like, you know, sometimes sliding backwards into my humanness. But today I choose the new literature book, the spiritual, like, that is gold. Like, and I know, like, some people, they pull a lot from A lot of that book is from the newer literature, not so much the old literature, but that is a big part of my spiritual practice. Is, and it's funny, every time like I open that book up, I catch myself, whoop, I'm living in that, the opposite spectrum of that, the defect, and it calls me out, and I consciously like try to apply that principle to my life every single day, and it gives me exactly what I need. If I work this program, it works in my life. If I get stagnant and complacent, that's when it's a red flag for me. But I have support to kind of call me out on it. I have a level of self-awareness today where I can call myself out on it. And I have that contact with my higher power where I will, they will give me a sign if I'm on, if I need to redirect a little bit. So I hope I made sense. I feel like I rambled a lot, but that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jerian. All right, introduce the next speaker. It is Lavo from No Longer Alone from Pittsburgh.
Recently celebrated 7 years. Don't mind me, I like to stand. But I don't know, man. I ain't like her. I don't like feel any type of way. My ego doesn't flame out when it says, "Hey, you want to speak?" No, that's not me. Because the man James got me on this speaking tour, which I didn't sign up for. That's me. That's my mentality. I'm like, I didn't sign up for this. But at the end of the day, man, I have to do it. Like, and because it for me, it fills my soul in order to help me grow a little bit more, you know, just be able to get in front of a room full of people that's just like me and tell my story, right? And then, like she said, she was hitting on notes, because like every time I've shared so far, it's always been on 4, 5, and 6, 6, and now it's 6 and 7. I'm like, what is that about, right? So it has something to do with me, and something I have to look at, right? And the crazy part about it is, man, like, I just reworked my fifth step, and I'm venturing back into the sixth step. And something I'd never paid attention to in this process is that in the fifth step, it talks about how we lie to ourselves, manipulate ourselves into believing that, you know, we have to fit in with other people, so we do what we have to do to fit in with other people. For me, that was totally opposite. Right, I did things to push people away from me so I didn't have to deal with people. Let me say to myself that I was not a people person. You know, I don't like people. But after working this step again and actually venturing back into the sixth step and character defect arise like age. I was lying to myself, I was manipulating myself into believing I didn't like people when the fact is, I'm actually a people person, right? I was like, what the, this is not me, you know what I mean? But, and there's a lot of evidence to the contrary when, like, I have friends that, you know, they relapse, they come back in, and I'm usually the first one at the door, greet them, hug them, tell them I love them. So, my man was like, yeah, that never happened. Like, you've always welcomed me back with open arms, or every time I come around you, you're like the first person that hugs me. I'm like, yeah, okay, and that's you. That's not good for everybody. But then I started looking at the characters, the defects that I have, and I'm like, I actually do that thing for everybody. No matter who you are. Man, I had, some people probably remembering my man Roy. He passed away. We had a conversation about this. It was like, you know, I was a dude that if you came off the streets, you might have smelled like garbage, was dirty, I probably gave you a hug and be like, you know, I don't care about that. You know what I mean? Come here, you need this love. Because at the end of the day, when I got that same love from people when I walked in the doors. You know what I mean? And the crazy part about it is like, I never really paid attention to that defect of character that, you know, I put myself in this lone wolf status that I wasn't even a lone wolf. My whole group is no longer alone, right? So therefore, I found out that I was never alone. I always had my higher power. I always had people who cared about me. And at the end of the day, I never understood what unconditional love was, right? Because everything that I had was conditional, you know? Even my love was conditional, you know what I mean? And I learned that through the process. It's like, that's kind of a defect right there when you put conditions on people you're supposed to love, you know? And it's weird. And like, and you come to this process and you learn all these little things about yourself, even with like with my wife, man, like I always tell her, like, dude, have some patience, right? And come to find out, I'm more impatient than she is. You know what I mean? Like, how is this possible? And I say this because like when I tell her to have patience, as soon as I go see something that I want, my patience went straight out the window. I'm getting that, I don't care how much it costs, it's mine. I actually did it with my truck. Yeah, I mean, like, the crazy thing is, the story about that is, like, I went to go get a work truck. I got a, seen a work truck. It was this plain Jane looking work truck. And I'm taking it down. And then I see this big shiny truck. I was like, nah, I don't want this. I want that. It was like, I knew you was going to say it as soon as you seen it. I was like, yeah, it's a defect of me that I, you know, at the end of the day, I can't shake. But at the end of the day, I can be vigilant about this defect, right? It's called impulsive buying. And the funniest thing about it is my insurance company hit me up about impulsive buying. My bank hit me up about impulsive buying. I'm like, is this for real? Like, how do y'all know what's going on inside my insanity, right? And another thing is, like, I have a defect of character where I like to buy shoes, hats, tattoos. It's a lot of things, right? But I was at a meeting last night, and one of my sponsors was like, you know, I had these, I don't know, about 2-year-old pair of Jordans on. They're still clean. I keep all my shoes clean. And he was like, he told somebody, he says, hey, my sponsor's, when I get 6 months, my sponsor's going to give me those new pair of Jordans. I said, what Jordans? He's like, the ones on your feet. I said, you got a better chance of the devil asking you out on a date than getting my shoes. You know what I mean? Like, that just ain't happening, buddy. You know what I mean? But it's those things. It's like those little shortcomings right there that let me know that, like, man, I have over 30 pairs of shoes. I have over 20 pairs of hats. And I started looking at these things, and I'm like, I have a 4-year-old kid. No matter what, we go to the store, we leave with something. And then now my wife's pregnant, so now I got, it's like, man, look here. I got a lot of things going on in my life that I really have to break down these defects of character in order to get me in a position where I can be of service, not only to myself, but up to my family. And I got to get in a position where I got to take these shortcomings that I have so I can be of service to kids, right? And I try to do that to the best of my ability because I'm like the area chair. I'm secretary of my home group, but at the end of the day, a lot of the times I use those positions and stuff and tweak them to make them fit my needs, right? Mm-hmm. And that's another defect of mine. I always try to find any ways and means to fit something to make me feel good without letting you know that I'm doing it, without me letting you know I'm manipulating you in some fucking way, and you don't even know. It's just crazy. Like, you know, this process teaches you all these things. Because when I first got in service, that's all I did. I was a service junkie. So I use that all the time for excuse to why I can't help you. I got a commitment I got to go to. Or even with my wife, like, you know what I mean? Like, it has trusted servants have to be at picnics and whatever functions is going on. So I'd be like, yeah, I got to go. I can't go do that with you. I have to go do this. This is my commitment. I have to do it. So a lot of times, man, you know, it takes a toll on the relationship when, you know, the only thing you want to do is be outside your house instead of inside your house. Mm-hmm. And the funny part about that is I love being in my house rather than being outside my house, but I always find ways and means to get outside my house. Even when I'm working, like, sometimes I'll find ways and means to say, oh, no, I got to go finish this job, but I'm not going to be done until I get done. And it might take me 16 hours, and I left at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? And my wife's like, you don't have to. You work for yourself. I say, yes, I do. This is me. This is that perfectionist type thing she was talking about. It's like, that's me. I have to be perfected in what I'm doing in order to make me feel better about myself. And I learned that through this process. Like, sometimes I got to take a back seat to myself. The crazy part about it is like, 9 times out of 10, I'm with myself all the time. So therefore, when I try to take a back seat to myself, it's like, what am I really learning here, right? I'm learning, at the end of the day, I'm learning that humility, that integrity, that honesty. And most of the time when I talk to my sponsors, I say the first thing I say to them is, at any given moment, the first thing you need to do is be honest to yourself. Don't worry about being honest to me, because at the end of the day, I know when you're lying. You know what I mean? I know that, because at the end of the day, I've been there, I've done it, and I've tried to manipulate people in that aspect. So if you're honest with yourself, you can accept yourself, those character defects can no longer harm you in any way, shape, or form. Because at the end of the day, you're vigilant about it. You can see when they're about to arise, and you'll be like, huh, should I do this or should I not? But with me, my shortcoming is like, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. And when I'm hitting that wall, it's like, ah, shit, I shouldn't do that. But this process gives me the ability to work on those things, and it gives me the ability to not be able to commit the same atrocities that I used to. You know what I mean? Because when I first came in this process, man, like, I got clean. And the guys around me, like, my predecessors was around me, they stayed away from me. Because at the end of the day, man, I had this defect of character where it was like, okay, I'm clean, right? I can go do this and be okay, right? I'm clean. I can go sell bananas to this monkey, and I won't want to taste this banana because I already know what this banana tastes like, right? And a lot of my predecessors used to stay away from me. They used to watch me, and they used to be like, this dude, is he serious about this process? Or is he just one foot in, one foot out? And next thing you know, he's going to be out, right? And what took me to get to the process where I had to actually understand that I can't be the monkey that sells bananas to other monkeys, because at the end of the day, that monkey is me. It's going to be dipping and dabbing in those bananas, and next you know, I'm out the door, you know? So it took me a while, man, to actually get to that point. So I had to work some steps, and I got to that point, and I was like, what is wrong with me? I keep putting myself in the same insane position that I've been in so many times because of my ego, my pride, won't let the streets go. So one day it was at a meeting, and one of my predecessors, the basket comes around, I pull out this wad of money, I throw 20 in it. He looks at me and says, where do you get that money from? You ain't got no job. I said, well, what happened was, he said, I don't want to hear it, man. You know what I mean? When you get to that defect of character, when you get to that shortcoming that you have right now, talk to me when you find out what I'm talking about. And once I got to that point, I understood that, man, it was crazy. Like, even my man right here, like, he kept me on arm's end until he actually saw me work in the process and start me taking some of the defects of characters that I had and start shelving them. You know, like one of them, the biggest one was anger. Like, I can remember, man, like, you know, I came in here, I had a chip on my shoulder, I was angry at everything, and I almost got in a fight at a meeting. And then, I don't know, somewhere down the line, the program of Narcotics Anonymous kicked in my head, and I literally walked away from this guy until he said something crazy to me. Next thing I was like, back to that same spot I was in. And I had three recovering addicts here to be on the way, like, yo, man, chill out. You know what I mean? And the part of it is like, you know, that anger, it's all driven by fear. And I never understood that until I started reading, and I started understanding that fear is basically the motivator for pretty much everything that I've done in my life. You know what I mean? Women, I have a problem with women. Like, you know, one of our predecessors used to come up and be like, hey, why you got this girl out in the bushes? I'm like, I ain't got that girl out in the bushes. She got herself in the bushes. But not knowing that part of my character defect was I played a part in why she was hiding in the bushes, watching me do what I was doing. You know, and then my sponsor was like, why don't you lay off women for a while? You know what I mean? Don't get in a relationship. My mind, okay, look, my mind, my defect of character, read between lines, whatever, you know, find a loophole in this situation. It was like, okay, I can have sex then. He needs to have to get a relationship, right? So, yeah, so I started doing that for a while until the pain got great enough. I was like, oh, shh. Was at a convention, and the dude was talking about exactly that, sitting in that character defect, doing the exact same thing I was doing. I was like, what the? He meant to say out of all relationships, out of friendships, out of committed relationships, out of sex ships, if I can't maintain this spiritually and keep intact with myself and do it with integrity, with honesty, I shouldn't be in it, right? So therefore, you know, I stayed out of relationship for a while, then I got married. And I don't know, man, that's a different ball game. Like, it's my defects of character come out all the time. My shortcomings definitely come out. But I learned how to sit back and be vigilant about these things. Because a lot of times, man, when I'm at home and my wife's there and there's an issue, and she looks at me and she's like, oh, you don't care about this. I didn't say I didn't care, right? But the way I am is like, I don't worry about nothing. Like, literally, don't worry about it. Money, don't worry about it. I don't worry about things. So therefore, it's like, it's a part of me where she thinks I don't care. And I have to show her, like, dude, I do care. It's just that I don't care as much as you do, because at the end of the day, I have a process that I go through that will help me see things through. You know what I mean? As long as I have the faith that things will be okay, and this is what I pray every time I pray, and I tell my sponsors the same thing. Don't pray for a specific outcome. Pray that you'll be okay with whatever the outcome may be. Yeah, and that's the thing. I work in my process when I do my 6 and 7. I pray that I'll be okay whatever this outcome is, because I know it's shortcomings about to rear its ugly head, and I know I'm going to have some consequences once it does. But if anything within that I'm okay situation, if I pray that I'm going to be okay, I won't have to go out and use, because I let my expectations overwhelm my beliefs and my system, right? So that's how I live my daily life, like that. Like, I always pray that no matter what I go through, I'm going to be okay with the situation and how I feel about the situation. Because I know for me, my emotions, my thinking, is really, you know, it's a little iffy. Sometimes, man, I let my emotions dictate my thoughts, and next thing you know, I'm out here punching somebody in the face because they said something to me that I didn't like. You know, and so that's why I always pray that, like, no matter what the situation is, I'll be okay with whoever the outcome is. And that's what I gained from the spiritual principle of this process, is that I gained that, like, having an open mind to be willing to do the things that I do on a daily basis, right? And that's look at my character defects. The first thing I had to do was be willing to say, hey, I got this character defect that I need to dive into and wonder why it's still hitting me so hard inside my soul that, you know, at the end of the day, I can't get rid of it. Because at the end of the day, I didn't turn it over to my God. You know what I mean? And that's step three stuff, right? I gotta be willing to turn it over. If I'm not willing to turn it over, guess what? I'm still taking back my will. I'm still committing this defect. I'm still committing this shortcoming. Because I'm not turning it over. I'm not letting my God do what he's supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like I shared, like, before, it's like, man, like, if I'm on an ocean and I'm on a boat, I can't be the captain of the boat. I guarantee you, if we all on a boat and I'm the captain, we all going to die. I mean, I'm going to take my will and I'm going to say, hey, if the navigation system says veer right, I'm veering left. So I learned to take this thing and say, hey, God, you know, you be the captain of this boat. And at the end of the day, I can suffer whatever waves, whatever icebergs come in my way, because at the end of the day, I'm not in control, right? So, and I try to use that on my daily life. Is like, I'm not in control of what happens right? But I am in control of how I react to it. And that's the defect of mine. Like, for the longest time, I would react poorly. You know, I would literally react poorly, because no matter what, man, I understand I'm a human being. I have feelings, I have emotions, right? And that's what we deal with. Like, when we talk about those defects of character, man, and those shortcomings, is those feelings and those emotions that make me drive the way I drive. You know, I'd be a drunk sailor on the road all the time, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, man, it's like this. Like, if I give that over to the God of my understanding, those feelings and those emotions and those character defects take a back seat. You know, it's the funny thing is, like, man, I got this song that it's by Jelly Roll. It says there's a creature. It's called Creature, right? And he's talking about there's a creature in a closet. Like, when I hear that, I'm like, that creature up here, he's in a closet. I can hear him rumbling around in his closet up here. You know what I mean? But I get comfortable hearing his voice sometimes. I get comfortable listening to him talk to me sometimes. But then I gotta slam the door shut, like, shut up. Like, because if I know if I open that door wide, then it's all bets are off. You know what I mean? All bets are off. All my character defects, all my ego issues, all my pride issues are gonna come back, and next thing you know, I'm back in the streets using, wondering, how the hell did I get here? I'm back in prison wondering, man, not again. You know, and then that's how this journey started for me. It was like, you know, I kept doing the same thing. Kept, you know, letting that ego, that pride get in my way, man. Like, I'm clean. I can do this. Yeah, I can get clean. I can't stay clean. You know what I mean? Like, that was my thing. I could get clean. I just couldn't stay clean until I came in this process. I learned how to stay clean. See, that's the hit, man. People want to look at that. The character defect that most of us have is, like, the fact that our impulse is to get high. Our impulse is to commit crimes. Our impulse is to do things that we know we should not do, right? So once I came in this process and I learned my impulse was to always be who I always was, I had to change that thought process, right? And that's how working the steps, you know, got to me, like, and especially, like, that seventh step, learning how to humble myself. Learning how to let God remove these shortcomings, because at the end of the day, man, if it wasn't for my higher power, I'd probably still be a crazy, you know, loose cannon, you know, wondering, like, you know, like I said, how I got here again. Through this process, man, it's given me the ability to actually reach out, you know, reach out to people. People call me, I call people now. And that was another thing, man. I hated talking to people. Man, look here. You call me, I try to get you off the phone in like 2 seconds. That's where you call, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm done with this conversation, call me back tomorrow, you know what I mean? But, you know, that was that pride and ego. Like, it was like letting me know that, you know, I thought I was better than, because I didn't want to hear your problems, because I only got my own goddamn problems, and your problems is less than my problems. But that's further from the truth, man. Like, you know what I mean? And it's crazy, like, when you get through this process and you get sponsors and you start learning, like, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes you have to be an active listener to other people's things and try to help them the best you can. You know? And I learned that, like, man, there was this, when I was in the rehab, there was this lady, man, she had this sign. It says, learn to listen, not learn to listen to reply. And that was my big thing. It's like, I learned to listen to reply. You'd be in mid-sentence, I'm like, yeah, I got you. I know what you're talking about. And you'd be like, no, you don't. You don't know shit. Yeah. And that's what I learned here. It's like, his sponsor was one of the first people who taught me that. It's like, I don't know shit. You know, I'm sitting in a rehab talking to this man. He's asking me what's that first step? I'm like, it means I'm powerless and my life's manageable. He's like, nah, there's more to it. I'm like, no, it's not. That's what this reading says right here. He's like, nah, there's more to it. I'm like, man, look here. You didn't know me on the streets. I was pretty manageable. He says, oh, you were pretty fucking manageable, huh? Then why are you sitting here talking to me? I said, ooh, let me take a look at that. Why am I sitting here talking to him if I had my life under control? Why am I sitting here talking to you if I didn't let certain things, which is a defective character, control my every being, right? Anger was my biggest thing, man. You know, that was my biggest thing. Like, everybody swears that, you know, hey, it's just, it is what it is. Get in a car with me and you'll find out. Actually, ask him on the way up here. Man, there was this truck in front of me. I was being patient for a minute, and I said, you know what, fuck this, I'm going 100, and I hit 100 real quick, and I got past it. That's a shortcoming. It's like road rage is like, it's an anger issue, right? So there's some things I still work on, some things I don't. Man, because like at the end of the day, man, I'm like a moving car, I try to mow things down. And part of that through this process is like sometimes I got to take a back seat. And if I don't take that back seat once in a while, I'm going to end up in trouble, you know? And I got all you guys right here for that, you know what I mean? No matter how far or how long I come, I always have people that's going to be in my corner. And I've learned that through this process, man. Like my sponsor is one of the humblest people I've ever met in my life. And that's why I chose him. It's like, I seen that. Like, no matter, he don't get angry. And if you do get angry, I've never seen it. You know what I mean? Certain situations in his life, he just wrote, you know, eh. I'm like, the hell did you get there, man? Because me, I'm flying off the handle, man. Like, I can't, you know. But I chose him for a reason. And through this process, man, it's like he's one of those dudes, man. Like, I remember laying in a bed, crying in a fetal position in a dark room, wondering where my life was going to go. And he called me. He's like, everything all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. He's like, I ain't seen you in a while, you know? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm just, you know. I was like, you know what, nothing. No, I'm not all right. You know what I mean? I'm sitting in a dark room crying for no reason. And that was the first time I let my pride go. And I swear, I was like, the most freeing thing I've ever done in my life was letting that pride go to let somebody know I'm not okay. You know, and next thing you know, here I am, 7 years later, man, free. Free from the active addiction of me. Because at the end of the day, man, my biggest character defect is me. It's always going to be me. You know what I mean? It's always going to be me, like, period. You know? And I always learned that through this process. It's been like, no matter what I go through, when I look at me, I'm going to see me. So if I go and I leave here today and I go to California, I'm taking me with me. But the difference is, like, I don't take the old me with me. I take the new with me. That integrity, that sense of pride, that sense of letting myself know that I don't have to do anything bad. I don't have to put myself in a bad situation in order to make myself feel good. Today I have people in my life that show me love, hope, strength, and that makes me feel good. You know, getting up here, being able to share my experience, strength, and hope makes me feel good. Now, at one point, I probably would have been like, I probably would have told you like, hell no, I ain't even doing none of that. You know what I mean? And they was like, why? I said, look, first of all, I got too much shit going on. I can't help you. But at the end of the day, I could help. I just didn't want to, you know? And I learned that through this process, man. It's like the only way that I can keep what I have is by giving it away. If I can't come in here and give myself a break by sharing my stuff that goes on, then how am I going to be able to give myself a break? I got to be able to let this stuff out and be able to move on through it, you know? And that's the thing, man. Like, I'm a prideful person. To this day, I'm still a prideful person. I am not going to lie. I'm not going to be one of those people that tell you I'm not a prideful person. I don't have an ego. That'd be lying, you know? I still have an ego, but I know how to keep it in check today, you know what I mean? I know how to take that pride and tone it down, you know? And then here's the thing, man. I don't have a filter. Y'all ain't got this yet. I don't have a filter. And that's something I've been working on for maybe 6 years now. And the first time somebody ever recognized it, you know, I started working on my filter. I was at a meeting and somebody had said something crazy to me. And I looked at him and I was about to say something. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to just walk away. And then my grand sponsor was like, oh, I see somebody learn how to use their filter. I'm like, yeah, I'm working on it. You know, but at the end of the day, I don't have a filter. You know, I say what I want, and sometimes it hurts people's feelings, and sometimes it doesn't. But you know, if I say things, it's not to harm you, it's not to hurt you, it's only to help. But sometimes I don't know how to say it in a helpful way, in a non-hurting way. It just comes out, and next thing you know, you're like, I should just punch you in the face. And then I'm like, yeah, I wish you would punch me in the face. And we can fight, that's the things that I live for sometimes, man. It's like, honestly, violence was a big part of my life, big part of my story. So therefore, when somebody says something like that, I mean, I'm like, I wish you would. I wish you would. So, but I learned through this process that I don't have to live like that today. I don't have to let these character defects rule my life. I don't have to let these shortcomings rule my life. All I have to do is turn them over and talk to somebody. Like, literally, I call this man like, yo, this, that, and the third, this, that, and the third, and this, that, and the third. And he'd be like, okay, man, you feel better? I said, yeah, but you ain't say nothing. He's like, you said it all. What the fuck? Yes. You know, he's like, why did I even call you? You was, you know, like, it's supposed to help you through this process. Like, you helped yourself. You know what I mean? And that's what I gotta do, man. I gotta learn how to do that more often. Like, I only do it when I feel like I need to do it, instead of doing it when I know I just should do it, you know? And that's something I've been working on myself, is like, getting into this step again, I've learned that, like, there's more defects of character that's starting to rear their ugly head, and I'm like, oh, man, here we go here. Here we go. So, I don't know, man, I'm gonna just keep coming back to Central Michigan.